Welcome to the Early Accountability Podcast hosted by Kimmy Walker. Kimmy has a track record of serving as a behavior change and improvement catalyst for individuals, groups, and organizations. Get ready to make the best version of yourself a priority. Now welcome Kimmy Walker.
Kimmy Walker here, and welcome to the next episode of the Early Accountability Podcast. Tonight, my guest is Unique Carper, and Unique Carper has a very unique set of attributes. She does a lot with startups and nonprofits. So when we're talking about early accountability and getting things started, I know a lot of people, myself included, really want to take a passion project or something that they really, really feel strongly about and want to start and get some type of a nonprofit started or implemented. So Unique, first off, welcome. Thank you for being here. So why don't you start by introducing yourself, telling everybody where you're from, what you do?
Hi, my name is Unique Carper. And I tell everybody that first and foremost, I am a lover of life and a lover of people. And I am somebody who loves to give back to people, especially when I see somebody trying to do great things in their community. I am a mother of three. I've been married for 16 years, so I always am juggling my work life with my home life and trying to make it all work together. I am recently branching out after I've gained some experience working in nonprofits and seeing some of the places where there's opportunity to grow and learn, especially working with smaller nonprofits. So I'm reaching out to these founders to try to help them along their path of building their organization, bringing it up together in a way where it is sustainable and where they are doing the best work that's in line with the mission for their agency.
I know you said you got into nonprofits. You kind of had some work experience doing that. What kind of started you on the journey of doing things in the nonprofit sector?
Well, growing up, I always had an idea that I wanted to work in a job where I helped people. I started off thinking that I wanted to be a psychologist. And then I was like, that's not really the right fit. And then I thought maybe I should be a social worker. And so I actually started off in school in the social work program. As I was working in nonprofits and seeing the different clients that come in and everything else, I kind of realized that that wasn't still necessarily the area that I wanted to be in. Some of that had to do with just my own realization on how I deal with things in life and my own personal difficulties of not projecting my manners and habits onto other people, you know, and trying to be more empowering, you know? And so, you
right.
know, self-realization means a lot when you're, you know, trying to figure out where you want to be in the world. And it was kind of defeating because I'm like, how, I want to help people, but how do I do this? But that's when I also gained a passion for more of the administrative aspect of the nonprofit, because without that, the nonprofit cannot sustain. People aren't able to provide the services if the administrative aspect isn't in place. And so that's when I changed my major to human service administration with a concentration in nonprofit management.
Okay. And that's what you've still been doing to this day?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I've worked in programming. I've worked in trying to coordinate between the parents and the programs and the staff members. I've done grant management and grant writing. And those are the areas that I've been focusing on mainly, and also board management.
Okay. So are those also services, like I know you have your, you do some consultative work on the side as well. Are those kind of the primary services that you help people who are already have like a nonprofit or who are thinking about starting a nonprofit?
Yes, it is. One thing that I realized is that there's a lot of people who have serious passion for the work that they want to do. And they're really big advocates for the clients that they want to serve. And some of them also may know how to run the programs, but they don't know really about budgeting. They don't know about the legal aspect of compliance. They're not sure how to really gather the information to where their programs can be quantified so people can see the actual impact of their programs. They don't know about fundraising, managing the board members. And so that's where I like to step in and kind of help people navigate their way through that whole process.
Okay. So if someone, let's say they come to you and they just have an idea down. So let's say they want to do like an after school program for minority males. What are kind of like the next steps? What should they do from there? Like, okay, I know this is what it is. I know this is what I want to do. I'm very passionate about it. Where do they go from there?
From there, they really should look into if they want to try to start the program before becoming a legal nonprofit, or if they want to go ahead and get all that paperwork done and out the way so then they can just hit the program running. Because some people just want to test the waters to see how they can grow from there. But I think the main thing is researching really and trying to become an expert in the field that you want to work in. If they really want to open up a nonprofit, they should, or like a nonprofit for after school, there's different alliances that they can join, like the After School Alliance, that gives a lot of details on how to set up programs, best practices, different agencies that they can reach out to help partner with the program. So I always say the best approach is really the knowledge approach and the research approach. And then from there, you can go into filing your legal documents, setting up your budget, finding your board of directors, you know, all those things to really manage the administration side of your nonprofit.
And I think that's interesting you said, because there is a lot of administrative work to starting and sustaining a nonprofit. What advice or what direction do you give people who are more of like the hands-on people? Like, I really know I want to start this nonprofit, but I'm really not into like all this paperwork and filing and IRS. What kind of guidance do you give them to help them go through the process of starting and getting IRS, you know, recognition and the whole process?
Well, I can help them fill out their paperwork for their 501c3 process. I can help them file their insurance paperwork, assist with the news publications that have to go out, and, you know, setting up their board, all the stuff that they need to do to legally become a nonprofit. Those are services that I can offer to them.
So you would recommend outsourcing if it's something like, oh, I'm
really not interested in, really not well-versed in. I recommend outsourcing it because sometimes it can be overwhelming, especially when you're doing the process and your application comes back denied. Sometimes it's good to reach out to experts who can help you with that process. And, you know, everybody's level of need is different. Some people might just want somebody to help talk them through it. Some people want somebody to actually do the work. In either way, you know, those services can be provided.
I know you do consultation with a lot of different types of nonprofits who are at a lot of different levels and are in vary a lot in size. What are some of the, like, you see a lot of like mistakes that people might make or common things that people may not understand or do that you have to often help, assist with, or give guidance on or coach people through?
I think one of the most common mistakes I see is that people have so much passion for the work they do and so much passion for wanting to help their community that they end up doing programs that are not focused around their mission. You create a mission statement for a purpose. This is what our plan is. This is what our vision and our goals are. So the programs that you're implementing should be able to be tied back to your mission. And that not only keeps you focused on your goals, but also when you are reaching out to the funders and you say you're an after school program, they're not interested in you doing work outside of that. They want to know how you are going to reach this mission that you said this is what you are doing. And so sometimes it's hard to get people to bring it back in, to really refocus their direction on their mission. And I've had very difficult conversations sometimes with people because sometimes they're deep into a program and they're not wanting to, they're not wanting to give that program up. But when it's not, they've gotten attached to it. But if it's not serving the right purpose, then why are you doing it? You could reach out to people. You can refer those people to other agencies who might be providing that need. But you have to focus on your main need so that you can become proficient in that and so that you can provide the best services that you can in that.
Do you ever suggest collaborating? So if it's you're really interested in doing an after school personal development program, but you just really have some students or kids who have needs in their home, and then you want to start giving like family coaching, would you suggest then, since that's going outside of what the mission is, do you ever suggest like collaborating with other organizations?
I am a very, very big fan of collaboration because there's so many people that have a million different needs in their lives. And you might be able to be that one to fulfill that need. But while you've got them, while you've got them in your program, while you got them in your grips, you can help them in other ways by bringing other people in to help with the other needs that you cannot fulfill.
Okay, that's awesome. I know a big thing with nonprofits, just knowing even personally with my own and just with other people I know who have started or who are sustaining nonprofits, a big thing, of course, is funding. Can you talk just a little bit on funding and someone should do if they have a nonprofit, they haven't really secured any kind of funding yet for their program, or they have an idea for a nonprofit and they're kind of like, how am I going to pay for this? Where do you suggest starting and what do you suggest to help people stay on top of that goal or securing sponsorships or grants or what have you?
One thing that I believe strongly in is having a board who is responsible for fundraising, having board members who have a give-get. So you set the goal. If it's $500 a member, then they either give it or they get it from the community. Especially when it's a starting out nonprofit where they don't have a large name out in the community and people don't know much about them, the board members are a way to market them through their give-get. But I also believe that people should start first with local businesses because businesses want to provide charitable work in their local areas. Like businesses want to see their communities grow. And a lot of them have personal missions and personal foundations tied in with their business. So they're looking for agencies that they can fund. So it's a lot of research to see which businesses have focus areas that are similar to yours. But that is really one of the main places to start when you're first starting out. From there, you can branch out looking for different grants that might be available. And I also say to do events as fundraisers. Smaller events where the expenses are low, but where you can both net funding and also spread awareness about your agency and the services that you are providing.
Okay, so doing like small local events to kind of get people aware of what you're doing, trying to secure, you know, sponsorship or funding from local businesses. So big one, it sounds like you said, really kind of starting on the home front, not too big. And do you suggest doing that before you have 501c3 status or after?
You can start fundraising before you have your 501c3 status, but a lot of agencies and individuals are looking for that status because even though they're giving out the goodness of their heart, they're also wanting to be able to use it for their tax purposes. So, you know, I mean, that's the world that we live in, you know? So, you know, people are always looking for that. And that also shows people that you're serious about the work that you're trying to do and that you're a credible agency because people don't want to give their money to someplace that one, they're not sure. If they're credible or not, and two, they're not sure if they're able to be sustainable. Like, I don't want to give you my money today and you're going to close tomorrow. So when they see that you've actually done the work to try to get your 501c3 status and that you're working to really build your agency, then they have more trust in you because that's the biggest thing is having the community's trust in you when it comes to funding. They want to trust that you're going to do the work that you say you're going to do and they want the trust that you can be doing this work long term.
Okay, that's great. Now, for people like me who sometimes have to outsource, I am a woman of many hats. How would someone get in contact with you to like have a consultation with you about maybe an idea they were thinking about for starting a nonprofit, or to get some support in their nonprofit if it's not growing the way they would hope it to be, or they just kind of hit a roadblock? How would they get in contact with you?
Okay, anybody who wants to get in contact with me, they can find me on LinkedIn at Unique Carper, and they can also email me at uniquecarper@gmail.com. That's the two best ways to get in contact with me if you have questions about your nonprofit, any kind of administrative aspects of it.
Okay, and right now you work with, I know you work with a few nonprofits. They all have kind of different needs, and they're like different sizes and different geographical locations. So you're pretty well-versed, I would say.
Yes, right now I'm working with an organization that's called Kids That Count. It's in Topeka, where I grew up, and they had their 501c3 status probably about 9 years ago. And then the founders stopped working for the organization for a moment to focus on some life situations, and they're coming back together and trying to get their status reinstated. So I'm helping them with that process. I'm also helping an organization called the Blended Family Foundation, and they're an organization that provides services and mentoring to blended families. I'm helping them with their grant writing and their event planning. I also worked for three very large nonprofits. One is Refuge House. I was the contract manager there. It was a domestic violence agency. I've worked for Boys and Girls Club 2 times because I love that agency so much.
Oh, yeah, it's huge.
Also at Children's Home Society, where I'm helping in the philanthropy and grant department.
Yes, you have been. Okay, awesome. So it sounds like you have a great, you've have a multitude of experience. And yes, like you said, really, those are some big organizations too, like Refuge House and definitely Boys. Who doesn't know Boys and Girls Club? So Unique, what is your mantra? What is like your daily mantra? Like you said, you're a busy woman. You're kind of like giving all the time. What is your mantra that helps you with like self-care, or helps you to remember to take care of yourself, or keeps you kind of motivated and pushing forward?
I think that one of my mantras that I also tell my children all the time is have good days. Like, there might be circumstances that you're dealing with and stuff that comes up that's difficult. You don't know how you're going to overcome it. But sometimes you can't let that one thing ruin your whole entire day. You've got to try to figure out a way to deal with it, reach out to people for advice, but really still stay grounded in who you are and what your purpose is, and try to find joy somewhere, somehow in that day, even if it's something small that you can rejoice in. And my other one is that you can catch more bees with honey than vinegar, because I always try to be a nice person and a giving person, and I never want to leave a bad impression on anybody. You know, I want everybody to feel like I'm working with them and not against them. So I really try to do everything with professionalism and just treat people well. And that's just something that I do in all aspects of my life.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here. I know that's going to be helpful information, one, to me, but to the audience as well, because I know there are so many people who, like you said, have great passions and ideas, and they kind of just don't know where to start. So thank you again for your time. We enjoyed having you on the show. I'm sure you'll be back, because there's so much when it comes to nonprofits, to starting, executing. It goes bigger than 501c3 paperwork and a board and just funding. So I know you'll be back to be able to share more information for people who are looking to dive in a little bit deeper.
Yes.
So thank you again for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So it's Unique Carper on LinkedIn, and UniqueCarper@gmail.com.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Unique.
It was a pleasure to have you join us on this episode of the Early Accountability Podcast with Kimmy Walker. Be sure to visit earlyaccountability.com to sign up for the Early Accountability newsletter. We look forward to activating your greatness and helping you reach your goals.